John chapter 7 and verse 37. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we're just honored again. I mean that when I say it, Lord. It's not just lip service to be here, Lord. We're grateful and thankful to be in the house of God. And Father, we thank you that you're going to speak to us tonight here in South Dayton, New York. And Father, I've been expecting all day long to hear from you and to speak to your precious, beloved children, Father God. And that's just an honor to be able to be up here and to share the word with them. And Father, we know that we can't be helped apart from you. So we need your help tonight, Father. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, hit bullseyes in people's hearts like you do every single time we gather. Father, we thank you that if we'll hear the word and do the word, we'll see change. And Father, this is just another attempt, an effort to push us into more and to get us going from one level of glory to another level of glory. For Father, you desire that we would have days of heaven upon the earth. And Lord, that will not be a possibility unless we're doers of the word and hearers of the word. So we thank you for what's going to be spoken tonight. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, this isn't my message, but as I was praying that this came into my spirit, I saw a picture of a flower or a plant. And, you know, over time is when you see, it's like when in school, they have those little styrofoam cups with the little topsoil they put in there, you know, and they stick them in the window for the kids, or maybe you've done that with your kids. And, you know, of course, the kids, they wake up the next day and they go and running out there and looking at it. They want to see something change. But it's not maybe in the day-to-day that you see the change. But over time of a consistent watering and a consistent taking care of, you'll see a difference, praise God. And that's that's the picture I got in my heart about Wednesday night services and faithfulness to come to churches. You're putting yourself under the Word of God. And the word's being sown and you're being watered. And you might walk out of here tonight and feel the same. You might wake up tomorrow morning and feel the same. But over time, the submitting to the sowing of the word and the watering of the word, you'll look back. It's kind of like, you know, I know this, like when I drive by a cornfield, maybe in the summertime, and you know, you see little itty bitty things coming out of the ground. And then all of a sudden, maybe it's knee high and then maybe it's waist high. It's like, I didn't see that going from there to there. But all of a sudden I look back and in a time it's big and taller than me, which ain't saying much, right? But it is. And it's like, wow. And that's the way it is with your life. If you'll continue to water yourself and getting the word sown in your life. So you're doing yourself a favor by being here. Praise God. You say, well, that's just trying to get us to come. Well, it's true, though. It's true stuff. Praise the Lord. And so, hallelujah. Well, let's get into the word in John chapter 7 in verse 37. It says this, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this he spake he of the Spirit, which he that believes on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus here is talking. In verse 38, he's talking about rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. And I did a little bit of a study on rivers. I don't know too much about rivers, but I knew the basics about rivers and getting in relation to this. And I was doing a study, and I came across the Colorado River, which I don't know if you're aware or not, but it blesses between 30 and 40 million people throughout, you know, a bunch of different states out west, you know, through drinking water, through, you know, the irrigation and of crops and such. And they're having a problem is because they're talking about how it's drying up a lot faster and how many people would be affected by rivers. And I thought, wow, that's amazing, you know, a river having that much effect. And so I started looking into the importance of rivers, and I saw one article that talked about rivers being the arteries of our planet. That rivers are the arteries of our planet. And of course we know, you know, if you don't know, I'll tell you, but you know, food depends on rivers, you know, farming, irrigate croplands, you know, with irrigation ditches from, you know, nearby rivers, and you get rich source of fish from rivers and different, you know, things that grow around rivers. A lot of major cities have been, you know, constructed near rivers because of things. And of course, they've been used for navigation and different things and all sorts of different habitat and things like that. And so when a river dries up, it has a great effect. Right. In a negative way. In a negative way. And Jesus said here that out of the Christian's belly, because he said this, he spake of the Spirit, talking about them that believe. So he's talking about Christians. He said, out of the Christian there ought to flow rivers of living water. That word living water there comes from the same word zoe that we find in John chapter 10 and verse 10, which is the life of God. So the Lord is saying that the life of God ought to flow out of your belly like a river. Well, we know naturally how much a river can bless certain things. And it's the same thing with a Christian, that when those rivers of living, living is life, that can give life to things, will flow out of us, then we'll be life-producing, life of God-producing people. Praise God. Amen. And not only would it be, not only when a river's flowing is it a blessing to that river and the ecosystem and everything that belongs to that river, but like it said, the arteries and the different things that the river flows to and blesses. So not only if the rivers are flowing out of us will it bless us, it'll bless those that we come in contact with and where we're called in our lives. But notice this, Jesus said this. He said this, he spake of the Spirit. Now go with me to John 16 and verse 7. Maybe you kind of know where we're going tonight, but we're going to kind of navigate our way there. Rivers of living water. John 16 and verse 7 says, Jesus talking, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, one word for expedient, advantageous. It is advantageous, or you could say it this way, it's better. It's better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send them unto you. Now, we know that he's talking about the Holy Ghost in this, the Comforter. The Holy Ghost is called the Comforter. And he goes on in verse 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. So the topic is he's talking about is the Holy Ghost. And he says, if I don't leave, which they probably were shocked to hear him say that it's better for them, because they saw the wonderful things he was doing, and they were right around him. It's better for me to leave, that way I can send the Holy Ghost. But see, the Holy Ghost wouldn't come to just them. He'd be able to invade all the earth. Praise God. And he said it'd be better for you. Well, now go over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So Jesus is saying that it's better for me to leave, because if I leave, then praise God, the Holy Ghost will be poured out on the earth. And he says in verse 8, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after, notice that says after, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, the important thing to know here, and we're not going to be teaching this, and I encourage you that if the baptism of the Holy Ghost is something that's kind of foreign to you, you're not aware of, we did teach a class on it. It's on live stream. I can get you materials. And because I don't have time to show you, you know, all the different aspects of before you're filled with the Holy Ghost and different things. But it's important to see that he's talking to born-again believers here. This was after Jesus had died and rose again, and now is talking to people that have accepted him and said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you'll receive power. Which shows us that you don't get all the Holy Ghost there is to get at the day of salvation. Because he's saying to them, there's still something you haven't got yet. And he's saying to them, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So basically, Jesus is now giving us kind of a key in here, or a glimpse into why it would be better for him to leave. Because he's saying, now if I leave and send the Holy Ghost, and when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you're now going to be endued with this power that you never had before. That word power there is the word dunamis in the Greek, which comes from the word dynamite. Dynamite, explosive power, the Lord says, is available to people when they receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we can see this working in the life of Peter, can't we? That before the Holy Ghost, I won't spend too much time on this, but before he received the Holy Ghost, he was kind of a weasel, wasn't he? In a way, I mean, you know, you understand what I mean by that. He denied Jesus three times, one time to a little girl. Here he was with him for 3 years. And now Jesus is in his greatest hour when he needs someone to be loyal the most to him. When Jesus is being taken captive to get ready for his crucifixion, and they're saying, you were with him, you were with him. And remember, Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you'll have denied me three times. And Peter said, I won't do that, Lord. Oh, not me, not me. And Jesus said, yeah, it'll happen. He knew, you know, he knew it would happen by the foreknowledge of God. And it did happen, didn't it? And one of the people that came up to him and asked him was a little girl. I mean, it'd be like Michaela coming up to me and saying, "You were with Jesus," and being afraid of her. Oh no, I wasn't. Well, he was a coward. But then we see Peter, after the day of Pentecost, after he receives the Holy Ghost, stand up to over thousands of people when they're persecuting him and saying, "You guys are crazy, this tongues business. You must be drunk." He said, "They're not drunk. This is that which the Holy Ghost," or which the prophet Joel had said, that in the last days shall come to pass, "I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And he got up there and preached boldly, and over 3,000 people got born again. He went from being a weasel to a winner. The Holy Ghost will make you into a winner from a weasel. I mean, I can testify that to my own life. Pre-Holy Ghost, I'll tell you, I'm not trying to make light of this and to be funny man up here. You talk about someone didn't have any integrity, didn't have any character, I didn't care. I mean, it was all about me. I didn't care about quitting jobs. I told you 26 jobs, 2 years. Didn't care about, just all sorts of immoral things. It just didn't matter to me. And then when I got born again, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, something changed. Something changed. There became some power in my life. But we see Peter then going from the place of being so afraid to be taken with Jesus and being counted as one with him, to at the end of his life, Jesus saying, "You're going to die a death like me." And we know by studying church history, he was crucified. And they say he was crucified upside down. He said, "I'm not worthy to die like Jesus." That's boldness. He went from a lamb to a lion. And the Holy Ghost was the reason. What happened? He got power that he didn't have. That's why Jesus said, "You'll have power." Praise God. Well, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, Jesus said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you'll be endued with power on high. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 is when we see it happen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what's the next word? And. See, you can't separate the "and" out of that verse. And began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let me just say this, and again, this is where I don't know everybody's background here, or where you stand on this, or what you're taught, or what you know, or what you don't know, or what you think you know. But I would encourage you to get online and get that baptism of the Holy Ghost class. I taught it very methodically that night, of the steps and why you have to get the Holy Ghost after you're born again, and that you don't get all the Holy Ghost. But another thing is, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost until you speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, that's when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I should say it this way: that's the evidence that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no other evidence, and the Bible's very clear on that. And so, why am I saying this? Because now, Heather, if you go back to John chapter 7 and verse 37, hallelujah. Now we're just kind of getting started out here, and then we're going to launch. We're untying the boat right now, and we're filling up the tank and getting ready to go out onto the water. Hallelujah. John chapter 7 and verse 37. He said, "In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And people that are religious and don't know the Bible, they say, "Well, he was talking about salvation." Well, we know he wasn't. Because in earlier chapters, he talked about salvation as being a well of water, not a river. A river and a well are two different things. Wells of salvation. And he even clarifies it in the next verse. He said, "But this he spake of the Spirit." He's talking about the Holy Ghost. "Out of his belly shall flow rivers." So the rivers of living water were never meant to stay inside. They were meant to flow out. Well, what's he talking about? Speaking in tongues. Because you can't separate the infilling of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit coming on you without the speaking in tongues. Now, people will fight you on that, but just, stick with the Bible. You'll be safe if you stick with the Bible. Amen. Praise God. Let me just clarify something here that's good for teaching going forward. Because people will say to you, "Well, what, do you think you know it all?" Well, I mean, on certain things, it's not hard to get it right. You know what I mean by that? And I always use this example, I don't know why, probably because I need it every time I do anything. To my lawnmower, I need my manual. I mean, anything I do, taking the deck off to clean it, even doing an oil change, it's like, I don't remember anything, I need to go step by step. And if I was up here preaching the John Deere manual for my lawnmower to you, You know, I would tell you exactly how to change the oil, exactly how much air pressure needs to be in the tire, exactly how much of this fluid needs to be in there and all this, and how to sharpen the blade, just exactly how it says in the book. And you could say, well, what do you think you are, know-it-all? No, I'm just telling you what the manual says. Hallelujah. Yeah. So to stand up here and tell you that you can't have the Holy Ghost. See, that's why it's always important. And I know we say it all the time, but I can't stress it enough. Everything backed up by the Bible. Everything backed up by the Bible. It'll keep you safe no matter who you listen to, no matter where you go. It'll always keep you safe. It's got to be in the Word of God. And the Word clearly teaches you can't have the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. It's the only evidence there is. Praise God. One place a person got filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues and they said, we knew they spoke in tongues, or they said, we know they're filled with the Holy Ghost for or because we heard them speak in tongues. When they heard them speak in tongues, they said, oh, they got it. Oh, they got it. You can't get filled without speaking in tongues. So Jesus is talking about, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, the Holy Ghost is meant to bring you dynamite power in your life. Now, and he used it in context of when they got filled. And when they got filled, they spoke in tongues. The speaking, the action or the exercise of speaking in tongues is meant to bring dynamite power into your life. Or you could say it this way, supernatural God power into your life. And he likens it to a river of living water. Now think about those natural rivers. When those natural rivers dry up and there's no more flow, there's a lot of things affected, isn't there? It becomes a dusty, dry riverbed, right? It once was flowing and full of life and full of blessing, and now it's not doing anything. That's the way that most Christians are living their lives. Like a dusty, dried up, droughted out riverbed. You are never meant to live that way. You are meant to live with the dynamite flowing rivers, life of God, Zoe power, into every situation, into your jobs, into your children, into your finances, into your body, into your mind and the way you think, in your circumstances. And so many people are going along in life so dried up because they're not yielding to the things of the Spirit. We've become so carnally active and so carnally directed. I mean, let's face it. I mean, media, television, hobbies, recreation has stole our time away from God. Now, it's not just the praying in tongues. Jesus also said, my words are spirit and they are life. Talking about the time in the Word of God will build you up in the spirit realm. Praise God, it will. But let's face it. We've become so busy. Our schedules have become so packed full that God time and spiritual time has gone way down on the list. It's become less and less. It's become optional. It's become way down after we do every other thing. I had somebody fighting me on the area of tithing. And I'll tell you what, they were paying their bills faithfully. And I said, you need to, see, tithing is optional. If you have enough left over, you give your 10%. That's not how it works. The God thing needs to be number one. So you can always afford to tithe if you do it first. Say, well, my bills won't get paid. I'll tell you, I'd rather rob Niagara Mohawk or National Grid or National Fuel before I rob my God. I believe, God, we can do both. Pay our bills and tithe. But praise God, if it came down to it, turn my electric off. I'm telling you, I'm serious. I've been in these positions. But why? Because I know the value of it. I know the value. But my point of that whole story is that God things become not a priority to people. And we wonder why things are tough at times, and we're not living you're not meant to live a natural life. You're meant to live supernaturally. Supernaturally. I'm talking about, experiences with God. Encounters with God. Encounters with God in your prayer time. Encounters with God in your word time. Encounters with God in your finances. In your body, in your relationships, with your children, in your job. Favor and blessing. But let's face it. Out of your belly should flow. Is out of your belly flowing rivers of living water? If not, what's coming out? Dry smoke? Puh. Right?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
You don't get, just picture grabbing a big clump of dirt. That's what's coming out of people.
Yeah.
And that's the life of God's not coming out of people. Why? They're not availing themselves to things of the Spirit.
That's right.
And the Lord said that, and see, people think, well, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not a one-time thing. In Ephesians, it says, be ye or be ever filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a continual thing. You see, when you get a brand new vehicle, there's an initial fill up of that gas tank. You know, hopefully the dealership's nice enough to put a full tank in it when you buy from them. And that might be the first time that vehicle was ever filled up. Well, the first time you ever spoke in tongues is the first time you were ever filled. But just like that car, you drive it off the lot and you go enough miles, you can't just rest on the laurels of that first fill up. Well, I don't need to fill up. I was already filled up. Well, you're going to stall out.
Yeah.
You're going to stall out and you're not going to be able to get to your destination. And you're going to be stuck on the side of the road.
Right.
Having to have somebody else bail you out. And that's the way Christians are. They're sitting on the side of the road begging and hoping that somebody else who's doing what they're supposed to be doing bails them out. Praise the Lord. It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. I'm not trying to put a thing of condemnation on people. I'm not trying to put a legalism on people. Listen, I enjoy recreation and media and some things like that just as much as the rest of people, but we need to get our priorities straight. It affects our lives. It affects other people's lives. If we dry up, it's going to affect us, and also it's going to affect, if rivers are the arteries, right? What did it say? Rivers are the arteries of our planet, was one study said. Well, we might be the arteries to people. We might be the arteries to businesses. We might be the arteries to somebody we don't even know. And if we're not availing ourselves to this stuff, we can't, praise God, partake of the blessings of it. So tonight, you think, wow, that was just the introduction. Well, I don't have very much left, so just chill out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to look at the power intended to be directed to your life because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Those rivers of living water that are directed to flow out of you that will be a blessing to your life. And my hope is that you would avail yourself to doing this. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, we'll give people an opportunity to come up here. I'll lay hands on you and tell you to be filled, and the Lord will fill you. And you'll open your mouth and speak with tongues. Doesn't have to be in church. I did mine in my apartment on Water Street in Fredonia upstairs. Praise God. You don't have to have someone lay hands on you. Sometimes it's just easier that way because there's a point of contact and something to put your faith onto. But I want to look at this tonight. And my hope is that you would, if you're not doing this, we've talked about these things before, and we've looked at it more, I think, on maybe ministry side and what it can do for other people. I want to focus on you tonight. Because we need to be thriving to be a blessing to mankind. And go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. This is going to kind of be our blanket scripture for the next few points that we're going to make. Talking about that dunamis dynamite power. I mean, it's amazing. A river can service 40 million people. Praise God. What would we be able to do? That's natural. What would spiritual? If you got millions of Christians that were flowing and the rivers were flowing spiritually, what would we be able to accomplish on this planet? Praise God. First, you see, a healthy river, even though it's flowing to many things and many arteries and many different places, notice that the river itself always stays wet.
Yes.
It always stays wet. Praise God. What am I saying? Is that you might flow to different things, but you'll always stay wet. You'll be blessed. Don't you worry. It'll always catch up with you. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4 says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So he's talking about a personal time with the Lord speaking in tongues. But he says something interesting. Excuse me. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies. Well, that word in the Greek is kind of like the word charge up or to build up. I like the word to charge up. Well, charging something up is a power thing, isn't it? I mean, think of batteries, phone batteries, car batteries, and things like that. And so the Bible says that if you speak in tongues, the direct result is you yourself will be edified or built up supernaturally, spiritually charged. When you pray in tongues, you are hooking your charger up to heaven and you're walking away with a full charge when you pray in tongues. Can you imagine? I've been there with have you ever panicked when your phone was low and you didn't have a charger around? I mean, we all know what that's like, right? A couple years ago when my dad was getting out of the nursing home and going to be moving into an apartment. He had grown up in Frewsbury his whole life, and having the stroke, it really did some things to his mind. And the last thing we wanted to do was much change for him, but there was no apartments available that didn't have a step up into it, and maybe the bathroom wasn't set up for him. And so we had to get an apartment for him in Falconer, and I was so grieved by it, just so grieved. And the apartment that he wanted, there was an upstairs one, and there wasn't a downstairs one. And the lady that was there was no sign of her going. And man, we just prayed and believed God, but naturally we had to go in a direction because he was getting out. It was like he was getting out to move in on a Monday or Tuesday, and this was Friday that we had signed everything, paid for everything, and I forgot to charge my phone, and I'm sitting 20 feet in the air in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. And I look at my phone, and I'm kind of upset that I don't, you know, I'm not one of those hunters that sits there and just looks. Man, I'm on my phone playing Yahtzee, and I'm on my phone playing games, and I'm reading my Bible on my phone and different things like that. And so huge bucks are probably just walking right by me laughing at me. But I just that's just the way I am. It helps me pass the time. And I see the battery. I know I'm not in a good place with service. I know it's going to drain a little more. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I get a call, but it didn't come through because of where I was at. You ever get a call and you don't see it, but then all of a sudden a voicemail shows up, maybe because of service or something? And I listen to it, and it's the lady in that Frewsburg apartment. She says, "You're never going to believe this. The lady moved out, but we need to know tonight if you want this, and I need to know within a certain time." And I'm trying to dial out a call, and I can't dial a call, and my battery's going down and down, and I'm panicking, and I'm panicking. What ended up working out, but what was the point? That without the full charge, I was in trouble. I was in trouble without a full charge. And Christians are the same way. Jesus never intended for you to go out without a full charge. He actually commanded the disciples, he said, "Don't you leave anywhere until you get charged up." Right? I mean, it's ingrained in us now. Do not leave the house without a full cell phone. Right? It's like, oh God, life will end. What would happen? Right? But now we got car charges, all that good stuff. But if you don't have a full charge, it's going to affect how long you can go, how long you can last, how effective you can be, how strong you can be, how much you can take. Right? Because you'll be able to last longer. Praise God. It's just the truth. And so I want to look at a few things here that go from this scripture, because this scripture says, goes along with Acts chapter 1, that power will come to us, or edification, or a supernatural building up, and show you a couple different places that the Bible says will be a blessing to you, power. And let's go back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Acts 1 and verse 8. It says, "But you shall receive power." One of those words for power in the Greek is the word ability. You'll be getting a supernatural ability, praise God. But look at one of the things it's for. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria," and now notice this, "and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Well, I know he couldn't have been just talking to the disciples, because they never made it to Jamestown. They never made it to South Dayton. They never made it to Forestville and to Fredonia and Dunkirk and Lakewood. They didn't make it to my family members. They didn't make it to the town I pastor in. They didn't make it to the Walmart that I shop in and the family members that I run into and the friends that I run into. He's talking to believers here. And he's saying, if you want the ability to be a witness for Jesus, you need this power. And can I just be bold? It's Wednesday night, right? If you're here on a snowy Wednesday night, you could take it. I mean that sincerely. I believe that. I think it's commendable that people will come out during the midweek in the middle of a snowy night and come to church. And so you can take boldness. But let me ask you a question. What I believe in the heart of every person is to want to be a soul winner, to want to be an ambassador for Christ or a billboard. But a lot of times, our own personalities get in the way. Right? I mean, I preached a sermon last night in Olean. It's been on my heart, and we'll share one here on different aspects of praise and the blessing that it can bring to our lives. And it's the same way with that stuff. You preach the word on praise, and even afterwards, after you preach the word, I said, okay, now it's practice, and it's still kind of quiet. What's the reason? People are so self-conscious. People's personalities get in the way of doing the word. And I believe in the heart of every person, it's to share the gospel. I believe Jesus is real to you, that heaven and hell are real to you. But let me ask you a question. When are people going to actually wake up and be witnesses for Jesus? Because go back with me real quick to Mark 16. I'm just going to show you what Jesus said. You can throw your tomatoes at him. Throw your spears at him. Mark 16 and verse 15. He says, go into all the world. Well, the disciples never made it to North America.
Right.
Did they ever make it to Forestville and South Bay? No. They've never been here. Go into all the world. So he's not just talking. And then he says, preach the gospel. And so don't pass it off on the preachers. Because all that word means is proclaim. It doesn't mean pulpit ministry. It doesn't mean internet ministry or TV ministry. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. He's telling every one of you to go. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer this. And I'm not thinking in my head the different statistics. It's not like you all have a little baseball card that has your church attendance stats on it. That's what we should do. We should have church attendance stats, giving stats on there, invited to church, what you do in the church, you're serving in different things. We'll have all little baseball cards and we'll exchange them. Right? And everybody will want to get the one of the person that's the giving the most and doing the most for Jesus. But let me ask you a question. When's the last time you invited anybody to your church? When's the last time you told anybody about this Jesus that saved you? I mean, let's be honest. Let's just be completely honest about this and break it down to a natural example. I used this last night when I came to worship. If I'm a firefighter that comes in and rescues your baby in a fire, let me tell you something. You ain't going to be quiet about Mike Anderson. I will be like a hero to your life. I will be somebody that you will make sure to tell everybody about. It won't be just that fireman. It'll be that fireman Anderson or whatever they call those awesome people. Right? That's what they'll say. And when you see me, you won't be ashamed of me. You'll probably run up to me, give me the biggest hug. You'll tell everybody around me, this is the guy that saved my child, broke into the house, did it all for me. And yet Jesus saved us from eternal fire. And we're silent about him. Well, I don't know if I bring someone. Pastor Mike might speak on tongues that day. Well, then that's what they needed.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what if tongues and interpretation come out? Listen, be careful. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. Be careful how you think the harvest should be won. A lot of people have been afraid to invite people to churches that have the Holy Ghost in them because what if they do that? Well, then let the Holy Ghost have its way. Listen, I'm pro people. I'm not pro trying to scare people out of church. I want to flow with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Praise God. And we need to learn to just follow Him and obey Him. Praise God. But the Bible's telling you to be a witness. And in Acts 1 and verse 8, the first thing of power, if you'll yield yourselves to praying in tongues, you'll be a more effective witness for Jesus. He said, don't even go out and try to be a witness for me until you get filled with this power. So there's a relation between the power and being a witness. But I just wonder, who's the last time you told somebody, you know, my church, come to my church, or you brought someone to church, or you invited someone to church, or you told them about Jesus? I mean, I think if we were to be sober about it, maybe we'd think maybe we're missing it a little bit in that area. We're dropping the ball in that area. And maybe I'm dropping the ball by not preaching it enough and expecting a harvest in a place where I haven't sown a seed. Maybe I ought to preach more on being a soul winner and people getting more excited about it. Maybe we ought to have, I heard one church, I think it's in California, Pastor Nancy's church, they do once a month. They do each one reach one. Every person, every month, focuses on one person to bring to church. Can you imagine if we all did that, focused on it? I mean, went to great lengths of reaching out to people, telling them about Jesus, telling them about the church. But you know what it is? We're selfish. I know I'm hitting the hard one first, so you hate me first, love me later. Well, right? But let's be honest. We're all about our own lives. Don't mess with my life. Don't mess with my stuff. I got my work, and I got my outside of work, and that's all I want. I don't want to be inconvenienced. Well, Jesus was willing to be inconvenienced, and He changed the world. He did. You got to be willing to be inconvenienced for the Lord, but we're just all about ourselves and our stuff. Make sure we get all our stuff. Make sure it doesn't affect what we do. We don't want to mess up the daily schedule and our fun. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The last funeral that I did, I'm not saying this to brag to you. I'm telling you this. The last funeral I did, I didn't even know the people that I did it for beforehand. And I had a hunting trip scheduled to go to Ohio that week. And I'm not doing this to brag to you. I'm talking about being willing to be inconvenienced. I'm talking hunting trip planned to go, everything. Didn't even know the people. It was called to ask to do a funeral. And I knew in my heart that if I do it, people will go to heaven forever. You talk about being inconvenienced naturally, but I'll tell you what, but it's worth it. I didn't even think twice. I said, yes, do that. Trip canceled.
Yeah.
Trip canceled. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Let's do this. Get someone born again. And people got saved.
Oh,
How many people would be willing to do that? I know somebody right now that possibly is going to have to do a funeral. And I was talking to him last night, and this person they is over, and they might pass away, and they're supposed to go to California for the week. And they said, listen, if you do, I'm doing the funeral, because I know if I do it, Jesus will get preached. And someone will get said, cancel the whole trip. Plane tickets and everything, hotel room, everything booked, willing to stay back. Inconvenience for the Lord. Because when I get to heaven, it's not going to matter how many deer I killed. And it's not going to matter how many turkeys I killed. It's not going to matter how many cars I restored. Or how much shopping I did. Or how much, whatever your hobby, it's going to matter. Who did I bring with me? Who did I bring with me? And I think we need to wake up in these areas. But the good thing about it is, go back to Acts 1 verse 8, Heather, please. The good thing about it is, this is your help to be doing that more. This is your help to be doing that, is to be built up. The Bible says then you'll be able to be a witness for Him. Spend time praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. Okay, now you can get ready to get your love back on. But I believe, I say that, and I just got arrested in my spirit, that I don't even need to fluff it up. I believe we're all on the same page. I believe you want people born again just as much as I do. And when I preach that, my ears are hearing it too. And I think of, wow, you know what? I can see selfishness creep into my life. And I can see where I've lacked off. And maybe how my zeal for Jesus when I first started out, you know, you'd want to tell everybody. I can see where, wow, let's get back to those days. So I think we're all on the same page. Praise God. I don't think I have to worry about people hating talking about other people not going to hell. I believe. And if we have people in this church that don't give a rip about it, maybe that's the kind of people we don't care about having in our church. You know what I mean by that? If someone were to say, I don't give a rip about people and going to heaven, well, maybe this ain't the place for you, because that's what we're all about, is people. Hallelujah. Anyways, now go with me to Jude chapter 1. In verse 20, so praying in the Holy Ghost will help you. Because listen, I get it. I'm not being insensitive. I am so introverted, and you might say, you are a liar. No, I am super introverted. I just would rather stay to myself. Now I've renewed my mind, and I've put my flesh under, and I have argued with Him enough to let me just do something else, and it just doesn't work. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He doesn't take them back. He doesn't take them back. And so I got to do this. But my flesh, to talk to someone, to stand up in front of people, to share my faith is not something naturally. To talk on a topic like praise and worship. Listen, I'm here to tell you, if you want to start being biblical in this church, then when I get up here and say, let's praise the Lord, it won't be cricket anymore in here. If you want to be biblical, you will shout and rejoice. Because the Bible says, this is for somebody in here. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Now, if I was going to ask everyone, who here favors God's righteous cause? We'd all say, me, me, me. I'd say, why aren't you shouting? Because the Bible says, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's the truth. Glory to God. And so, why am I talking about that? About putting my flesh under. To stand up here and say, praise you, Jesus. Oh, I worship you. That in my flesh makes me cringe. To actually do this, which blesses the Lord, is not something I'm naturally given to. But if we want to look like the Bible, we got to put ourselves under. It ain't about you or your comfort level. That's why with worship, it's called a sacrifice. If it was easy, if Donald Trump walks in here and writes a $5,000 check, that's not hard. There's no sacrifice involved there. A sacrifice is something that causes you maybe a little bit of discomfort. A little bit of, oh, I don't know. And I remember, praise the Lord. But it's not, see, worship's not about you.
Right.
I don't know why we're mingling the messages from last night, but someone needs to hear this in here.
Yeah, good.
You're missing out. You're missing out when you don't praise God, because it's about Him and blessing Him. You know, I just feel in my heart to keep talking on this, but I was in, when Caleb was little and in a shopping cart in Walmart, I would do things that I knew would get him to laugh and giggle. And I'll tell you what, if you had a camera on me, or if they're watching me and like in the security room, they think that guy's an idiot. He's lost his mind. Or people walking by me in the aisle, or hearing some of the ways I change my voice, or dance around just to get him to laugh. But see, I didn't care what they thought or the cameras thought. All I cared about was that my little boy was pleased. And the Bible says, lift your hands and bless the Lord. Shout unto Him, bless His name. Praise the Lord. It pleases the Father. So I don't give a care what anyone else thinks or how stupid I look. I care about pleasing Him. And that's the same way it is with this stuff and praying in tongues and building yourself up as a witness. We just do it because we're concerned about pleasing Him. Hallelujah. But anyways, we said all that to help somebody. Praise the Lord. Jude chapter 1 in verse 20. says, oh, Lord, I just can't go on. Can't go on right now. I had somebody one time tell me, the way I praise God is I rev my motorcycle. I said, that's not praising God. You're not praising God like that. It wasn't you, Jeff. He's got a motorcycle. He's probably thinking, oh, did I tell him that? You're smarter than that, praise the Lord. And but that's what they tell me. We get done preaching out, and people will come up to me and say, man, I had this last night. Preach on what the Bible says is praise and worship. The Bible says praise and worship is the raising of the hands and the shouting out of your mouth. That's praise and worship. That's what God is pleased with. And I had someone come up to me afterwards and say, the way we praise God is we hit our, like this. We do this and do, I'm like, because they said, well, everything you said is well and good. Everything you said is well and good. And the person's not going to be hearing this by live stream. They laugh. We talked about this. They might say, are you ever going to use me an example like this? Well, maybe. Not to embarrass you, praise the Lord. But anyways, I said, well, everything you're saying is well and good. And I'm saying, you mean the Bible? But this is how we praise God. Someone said one time, I rev my motorcycle. That's not praising the Lord. That's not praising the Lord. Praise is not about you and what you think's best. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, if I did, I could do things that I would think would work for me to get Caleb happy, but they don't work. I got to do things specific to make him happy. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I think we're released now. I don't know what, that's for somebody here. Bible says the earth won't yield forth her increase till you praise God. Right. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God, yeah. Praise and worship. I don't know. We'll talk about that another time. Hallelujah. Jude 1:20, we got to hurry. Jude 1 and verse 20. But you, beloved, praise God. And the reason I use that example, number one, this person will not be listening by live stream, but also we talked about it after and laughed about it. Praise God. I'd never, ever use anybody an example to ever embarrass or to do anything. I would only do things that I felt released in my heart to do. Praise God. So, hallelujah. And I don't mean, all you guys give me is good examples. So, praise the Lord. But you, beloved, building up yourselves, building up, edifying, charging yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now look at that word Holy Ghost there. What's the punctuation mark after that? Or what is that? It's what? A comma. That means it's not over. Doesn't it? I mean, I'm no English major. For sure I'm no English major. But praying in the Holy Ghost, comma, means there's more. Verse 21, keep yourselves, one translation says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. You need help with your love walk? Pray in tongues. Go back again, Heather, to verse 20. It says, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know how you pray in the Holy Ghost? Tongues. That's praying in the Holy Ghost. He that prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays. And then, okay, Heather, you can go back to 21 again. We're making you do the two-step back there with your, to typing. But keeping yourselves in the love of God. Now, we looked at love a couple weeks ago, didn't we? The importance of it. Love is the fuel that powers your generator. Remember the generator? Powers all the lights in the houses, all the appliances, all the things you want to use. And the fuel starts that thing up and runs the power all the way through. Well, people really struggle with their love walk at times. And the reason being is you're trying to do it from a place of the natural. You're just waking up and going out in your day. And I'll tell you what, love is an area you'll be tested every single day. You're around people every single day. You're going to be tested in your love walk. And you have to pass that test. See, you passing your test is not dependent on the other person. Doesn't matter what the other person does, you still have to pass your test. Doesn't matter what the teacher gave you, if you want to go on, you still got to pass the test. And so many people are struggling in this area of love walk. Well, that's because I knew one person that had such a hard time going to their family, they'd say, I don't go to my family's without praying an hour in tongues first, because if I do, there's going to be problems. And they knew that. They recognized it, that their love walk struggled. They needed supernatural help in their love walk. Listen, some people's personalities, I know that this maybe will surprise you, but I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to preach at the floor now. Some people's personalities are not naturally sweet. Do you know any people like that? That just, they're just not geared to be the most friendliest and nicest people. And people that recognize that, this person that told me that was one of those people. I mean, you would have thought this person was angry all the time. And they recognized that they're very short-fused and different things. And so what they did is they spent an hour before going to family because they didn't want to snap. They didn't want to lose their witness. They didn't want to walk out of love and affect their own family.
Yeah.
Well, though, praying in tongues will help you with your love walk. Yeah. Availing yourself. Supernatural power to be able to... You know, there's people... If you're called to forgive somebody, there's sometimes things in your mind that would be just seemingly unforgivable that people have done, caused, and harmed you. But you know you have to if you want to stay in faith and stay in love. Well, the way you're going to be able to find the ability to do that, and if you run into the person or someone brings their name up and immediately you don't start trashing them and immediately you don't start taking wrong thoughts about them, the way they're going to do that is not through a natural ability. Through supernatural power. The Holy Ghost will keep you in the love of God. He that dwells in love dwells in God, the Bible says. Romans 8 and verse 13. Almost done. Romans 8 and verse 13. Praise God. Oh, Lord. Romans 8 and verse 13. You know, there's flesh churches. What do I mean by flesh churches? Where anything goes. Where holiness is a foreign and a dirty word in a church now. And grace message sweeping through that tells people do whatever you want. It's already been forgiven. Now, there's truth to that. It's already been forgiven. But still, there's consequences to sin. And there's a going away from the plan of God. And there's a walking into darkness. And there's a sowing and a reaping that they're leaving out. Just certain parts of the Bible they have decided. Because you know why the grace message will fill seats? Holiness message won't fill the seats, but the grace message will fill the seats. I mean, how wonderful to baby carnal Christians that are told, live however you want. I mean, if I'd have known that. Keep it to yourself, Grandma Alice. Keep those thoughts that you have about me to yourself. Praise God. You talk about carnality, I'm going to tell on you right now. I'm telling on you right now. I'm doing it because it's going to fit. She texted me one night and asked me if I wanted to spend the night with her. Oh, I'm getting there. The story's not good enough until they think you're kind of a goofball. She meant it to go to her granddaughter. And I read that text. Oh, I was like, oh. And I said back to her, what did I say? Would you like me to bring popcorn? And then she realized and she said, and Courtney, and Caleb, and Abby, and the dogs. Praise the Lord. So, see, we got some carnal buckets in here. I spend the night with her pastor. So at least I saved it for a Wednesday. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anyways, glory to God. Romans 8 and verse 13. There's flesh churches. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Hallelujah. The Bible says you can mortify the deeds of the flesh. What are the deeds of the flesh? Well, walking out of love would be one of them. Addictions, habits, maybe anger and wrong way you talk, and people have a cursing problem, people have a lust problem, people have an overeating problem, people have a smoking problem, a drinking problem, whatever it is. Those things that you're doing wrong to your body aren't helping you. Now again, we're not putting the blanket of condemnation over you. Can we all admit we have our stuff? Can we all admit that we're not perfect yet? Praise God. We can all admit that we have things to work on. But we can also all admit that those things are not helping our lives. They're not helping our lives. They're carnality. And the Bible says, you know, there's people that have struggled and struggled for years with things. I mean years and years for things. And they try and they have good intentions to give things up, but they just can't do it. But the Bible says, if you'll do it through the Spirit, if you'll go a supernatural route, praise God. Sometimes things can't be fixed naturally. You got to have a supernatural route. If you'll do it through the mortify your deeds of the flesh through the Spirit, praise God, you'll get these things done. Start praying in tongues. Basically what I'm telling you to do every day is take time to pray in tongues and watch things change. Watch things change. Those things which had a hold on you, those that temper, that anger, that lust, that addiction, that habit, that thing that is just overtaking you all the time will become less and less strong on you. Why? Because the inner man is becoming bigger. And the outward man, which is causing you to do things, is growing smaller. We feed the outward man too much. We don't feed the inward man enough. So here, that's help for you. I don't need to preach much on that. It's just, that's the way it is. You want to get free of these things? Start praying in tongues. Start using your faith. Start speaking against those things. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, go with me to Isaiah 28 and verse 11. Isaiah 28 and verse 11. You know, the Bible, remember we talked about in James that the Bible said that where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. And I said it's to your advantage to be the peacemaker. Whether you're right or not right, the important thing is get it right, which is be the peacemaker. You can't afford strife in your home. You need to be the peacemaker because you don't want to let in envy and every confusing work and every evil work. You don't want to let that into your house. Well, the Bible also talks about in 1 Corinthians 3 that where there's envyings and strife, are you not yet carnal? Talking about that when you're in that carnal realm all the time, that natural realm, that's the result that you're going to get. You're going to get envyings and strife. You're going to get bitterness. You're going to get opposition. You're going to get arguings. You're going to get disagreements all the time, and people become so touchy, and people become just so resentful and everything. Why? They're natural. Natural, natural, natural. And Paul said, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. Yeah, because you're spending so much time in the natural. So if you'll start spending time in the spiritual, these things will start working better. You'll find that the people that just bug you the most won't bug you as much. The people that are the ones that you could say, well, if I could give anybody credit for pulling me out of my love walk, it's that person. We all have them, right? We all know who they are. And there's some of these people you can't avoid. And if I see a husband or wife do this right now, you're in trouble. I'm going to call you out right in service. But, I mean, now you'll think I'll do anything after I told on her for the text. But it was all in good fun. Hallelujah. And so we can't avoid these people. Co-workers, you know, family members at times. And our job is so vital to stay in the love of God. To make sure we're walking that love of God. And you need to get in the spirit realm. But anyways, I wanted to point that out because I had forgot to mention that. Isaiah 28 and verse 11. Now we know that he's talking about other tongues because in 1 Corinthians 14, the tongue chapter, Paul references other tongues in this chapter. In that chapter, references this verse in Isaiah. Because you might think, well, maybe it's talking about someone that stutters. No, it's talking about the Holy Spirit in other tongues. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said this. Everybody say this.
Yes.
This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And again, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 references this verse in Isaiah, talking about the subject of speaking in tongues. Paul's saying speaking in tongues, that dunamis dynamite power, will cause a supernatural rest and refreshing to come into your life. Now, praise God, this topic can step on so many toes, but the Bible is the Bible. Your body was not meant to go nonstop without any rest. It was not ever made. God rested on the seventh day, not because he needed to. He's God, but he wanted to give us an example. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to rest on the seventh day, but there has to be rest in your life. There has to be some rest in your life, or your body will break down. I know this because I've been supernaturally warned. I mean warned, woken up in the middle of the night, slow down, slow down. Take some rest. You better slow down. And listen, I don't like just sitting around. So I understand for those of you that you hear this and it's like, don't tell me that. I get it. I'm that way. I don't like to be idle. But I've also had the Lord tell me, you stop it. Stop it. And just, Pastor Nancy, now maybe a lot of us wouldn't have this ability to do so. But she was going so strong. And so the Lord said, I want you just to go away, take 2 days, and don't do anything. Just lay there. That was for her. And I know a lot of us maybe not be able to do that, but we could do something to incorporate some rest in our life. And I want to show you this. This verse, though, will not trump you not being natural. That's the Holy Ghost power. Father, the great mighty men of old would say that tongues is the doorway into the supernatural. That it's the entranceway. It's the way you get into that spirit realm. So, Father, we thank you and praise you. Let's just begin to rejoice tonight and to thank him for his mercy. We bless you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost and you want to, well, you can come on forward and we'll lay hands on you and you get filled. Praise God. If you've never been filled and you want to, that's an invitation. But we'll just keep worshiping God for a second here. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. If you want to be filled, you just come to the front. We'll know why you're here. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you, Father. We glorify you, Lord. We honor you tonight. We honor you tonight. Now, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, don't let this freak you out, but we're going to all lift our voice and pray in tongues. We're going to be doers of this. Let's just let those rivers of living water flow out of our belly. And let's just lift our voices in one accord. Mostra masindo rofaste bello to costo. O pramasikiti tashwate levesto. O pramamasinguruta sha. If you're not filled, you can come forward. Or if you're not filled, you just stay there and worship God in English. That's fine. Just dive in and join in with us. Brata mista gota ramaskete. Embrosha galate singa nambusa lataste. Vero bota. Yesta. Yesto bota nashikiti divisto rumbosta. Ha ha ha. Yesto roto mascaravaste beto. Endrobodosto robosto ramaskiti. O prashikitista frambama. Endara voskoto romaste te. Ha 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 rezedo. O prashikitista tra. O prashikitista ta. O prashikitista banda le vesco et eropo. Maura mesco. Bra pasu lasare vesonco posco tosta. Esta lama te sototo. La papaste te. O bra makita la vastoto. Na prasande leveto tomasa. Oh, pra papa. Isn't tongues wonderful? You don't have to think of what to say. Your doubt's not getting in the way. Your mind's not getting in the way. You're just flowing in the Holy Ghost. Oh, pristakande de. Mesto ramaste gelotosto patate. Motra faste pe. Hale namas. Listen up real quick. If every day, if you'll endeavor to be in the Word every day, and to pray in tongues every day, 2015 will be different for you. It will be different for you. I promise you. It will be. You'll look back after a whole year if you'll be faithful with it and avail yourselves to it. And life will be different. Life's different to the ones. See, a drought will make a life look like something. And people's lives will look like. Yet, rivers of living water and a flow will also make life look like something. Imagine if you flowed those rivers every day to your situations in your life and you did that and you look back at a year. My goodness. I mean, I know people are busy. But if we really, I mean, because you know how I know? Because when people want to do something really fun that they love in the midst of their busyness, they find time for it. Always, people always, when they, if it's that important to you, I'm talking just start a little bit. Maybe set the alarm clock 15 minutes earlier or turn the, that, so I'm going to give that show up just to pray in tongues for an hour, be in the Word, do something towards a spiritual direction. I mean, just those 2 minutes of praying in tongues, I can be like, oh man, I could do this all night long. You just be built up and charged up. Praise God. Amen. So I encourage you, be a doer of the Word. God wants to flow power to your life. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.